9300 with a large number of only the best qualified specialists on staff. EOC is able to provide better care than anyone else in eastern Oklahoma. I should know. I had my back surgery in 2012 with a degenerative disc between L4 and L5. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center took me through a step-by-step process in which now, after surgery, I am leading a normal life. Get back to your normal life. Whether you're in need of back surgery, hip replacement, knee surgery, or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. Ask your doctor about EOC or call for a consultation. 918-494-9300. Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center. We're located in the Natalie Building at 6475 South Yale in Tulsa.
K1AM 1400 and FM 93.3. It is time now for Community Connection. 36 degrees outside. Community Connection brought to you by Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic and Tallgrass Motors. We're joined by Andy Coleman from Andy Coleman's campaign for Congress. You're running for Congress. First time, I think, we had a chance to sit down and talk together.
Yeah, it is. It's good to be here in studio with you.
All right. So I like to play the I'm a young kid who doesn't know a whole lot about politics card a lot here on Community Connection. So you're running for Congress. We see your signs kind of all around town. Explain to us very beginning, and Charlie loves to do these. Charlie loves to talk, but he knows a lot about a lot of things. So for people who maybe are just now tuning in, never tuned into K1 before, maybe they're just kind of moved around, they were seeing the signs finally. Why are you running for Congress?
I'm running for Congress because I'm deeply concerned with where things stand in our country right now. We're in a difficult spot. And we do need genuine leaders to step up to the plate and help us out, get through this passage like we've done over our country's life. We've faced far more difficult passages, and we've gotten through them. It just takes grit, courage, and endurance. That's what I bring to the table. I'm a graduate of the Air Force Academy, went on to become an intelligence officer with the Air Force, later with the Army throughout the Middle East. I'm a military veteran of Iraq. I've served in conservative legal trenches. And for the last 6-7 years, I've helped with a ministry here in Bartlesville called Voice of the Martyrs. In fact, for 6 years, I was their Middle East Regional Director. I was leading all of their field efforts, helping persecuted Christians from Egypt to Pakistan. That's 17 countries. It was a little more than $8 million my last year. I mean, that was a tall order. You name the country, Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia. I was over there doing what I can to help out. It was very risky work, but very rewarding. But when you step back and look at the data points of my life, I have stood up for what I believe in. I have backed it up with action. A lot of that action came at tremendous risk. And I just think that right now we're in a season where we need people, principled leaders, to step up and help out.
And so there's a lot of people running for Congress at this point in time, and a lot of campaigns going on. Your campaign has stood out, and it's been going on for a little bit.
Yeah.
We've seen you very heavily present in Bartlesville. What and you've been Voice of the Martyrs here in Bartlesville.
Right.
Do you think that adds a big impact, bringing, like, not necessarily Bartlesville principles, but kind of the small town-ish principles to Congress?
I think so. I mean, when you look at whoever's going to be representing this district, it's going to be very important for them to represent the communities that sent them and represent them well. You know, sometimes I hear the first district referred to as the Tulsa seat. Well, that's fine. I understand what people are saying. Tulsa's a big part of the district, but it's way bigger than that. It is Bartlesville. It's Owosso. It's Sand Springs. It's Broken Arrow. A lot of wonderful communities. And yeah, I would want to bring that small town effect and principles and character to that seat.
I say that hesitantly. A lot of people think that Bartlesville's a big town. I mean, I grew up in Dallas, so Bartlesville is not necessarily a big town, but it has a lot of those small town principles, and I think that a lot of times people here in Bartlesville, and especially small towns that are surrounding Bartlesville, feel that their voices aren't heard due to maybe they're Tulsa. Maybe the people who are in the big, they're just kind of overlooked, and what they want and what they believe in is often just kind of thrown away.
Yeah, I think sometimes these communities feel overlooked, overshadowed, not really considered, but these are wonderful communities. Bartlesville is an amazing community. I mean, it's eclectic. You got really distinctive feels to the different parts of the city. An actual vibrant downtown. There's some neat stuff going on. I've lived, you know, and worked in many parts of the country because of my military background. And I love it in Oklahoma for these reasons. It's a speakeasy. I think if more people found out about all we had to offer, there would be more people setting up shop here because it really is wonderful.
And let's speak about that. First and foremost, thank you for your service. Second, you have your military background, Air Force. You've kind of been places and seen things. How does that add to your candidacy, but how do you think that's going to help you if you make it to Congress?
Well, that's a great question. One of the things we have not had a hard time with in this race is distinguishing ourselves. I'm the only military veteran in this race. I'm the only candidate in this race with national security experience. In fact, as a former intelligence officer, that experience grows very deep. I'm the only candidate in this race with experience in the Muslim world. In fact, forget about my campaign or this race. If you look at the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate today, it's possible that I have more experience in that strategic part of the planet than anybody in either chamber, Senate or U.S. House right now. And those are important skill sets to have. We need more veterans in those seats, not just to champion our veterans, and they need a lot of help, but also to champion our current military families. They go through a lot of struggles. They're outstripped in their capacity. They're doing deployment after deployment. We've lived that life. We know what that's like, and we will speak up for them. We need more people with national security backgrounds in those seats. There's very few when you look at them, and I think it shows. Because of my time in the military, because of my time just in these dangerous countries where the world's attention is tuned in, but they don't really understand a lot, I've had a front row seat to some terrible policy decisions playing out, and we do need more people to step up and just say, wait, have we really thought this through? Does this make sense? Does this advance American interests? Is this good stewardship of our resources? We got to be wise in how we conduct ourselves. So yes, when we're looking at the way that we would represent Oklahoma and the way that we would serve the United States, I do believe that what we offer is something in demand.
Let's talk about that. Several policies. Is there anything that jumps out to mind right now to you that you're just saying, you know, like, we shouldn't be doing this, we should not be involved in this, and if I were there, I would put a stop to it?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a lot playing on, and what I point out is, as a freshman congressman, I'm not going to be able to drive the train. I'm not going to be able to dictate which policies come up for debate, but what I can do is speak wisely and with a stewardship mind in place. And what I'll say is, I think this is going to be very important for your listeners, is they need to know how somebody in that seat's going to approach that office. How are they going to approach those decisions? And that's one of the things I have really thought through. So there's really going to be five steps that I have to take to make a decision. The first is, how is this decision? Does this decision align with my Christian worldview? The second, is this constitutional? The third, do we actually need this? The fourth, can we afford this? And the fifth, long-term impact. What is the long-term impact of this decision? That's where you consider your second and third order effects. What unintended consequences could come out of this decision? Does this expand the cause of liberty and freedom, or does it contract it? It's that fifth step, that long-term consideration, that I think gets overlooked time and time again. So to answer your question, are there a few things that are causing me heartburn right now that I would like to weigh in immediately on? Yes. When we look at our budgetary process, we keep taking these short-term solutions, and we're also blowing up our budget, deficit spending. That's something that gives me heartburn, especially from a long-term impact. This is more than just dollars and cents. This is a moral issue. This is we're talking about our kids. We're talking about our grandkids, our future generations that we're saddling with tremendous debt. It's also a national security vulnerability. It's something I'm tuned into. So that's a big thing for me right now. When we look at our budget, that's a big one.
I think that's interesting to point out, is I don't think a lot of people think about it being a national security issue.
It is, that
you just mentioned. I think possibly, it may be speculating, but that's where your military background and Voice of the Martyrs background of doing overseas world things comes into play, that you're able to kind of point that out and see it.
Well, we better be looking two or three steps down the road. If we're always just in reaction mode, that's not helping us. I know that there's other powers out there in the world, like China. China is thinking in terms of generations. They're thinking 30, 60, 90 years down the road, while too often American politicians are thinking 12, 18 months down the road. It's terrible stewardship. It's not serving us well, and we got to break out of that pattern.
Taking a little bit of step back here, you mentioned a couple months ago, you need more veterans in office, and of course, this is the first step, you running, being a veteran. I think a lot of times, veteran affairs, maybe not overlooked, but not served well here in Oklahoma.
Yep, you're right, and that's why we need champions for veterans. We need somebody that can empathize with the plight that they're going through. As a veteran myself, I know what it's like to come back from a war zone after you've kissed your family goodbye and come back and have the struggle of reintegrating. How does that all work? How do you get back into it? For our Vietnam-era veterans who are going through health challenges right now, we need people to step up to the plate and see that they get the service that they need. And in a program with the VA that all too often seems to be broken, and I am very encouraged by some of the recent reforms that are taking place to make it more responsive, to cater better services to our veterans, but there's still a long way to go in really taking good care of them and rewarding their service.
And so I think a lot of people who are out there, we see things in the news, and of course we report a lot of things here in the news that, well, veterans aren't necessarily, this is happening and it's not right, and this is happening and it's not right. And I feel like a lot of people who were not in the military, myself included, sit there and say, well, we need to change this, but I don't know how.
Exactly.
I don't know what the step is. I don't know anything about the military, if this is even possible, what the thing is. And so I think it's refreshing to hear somebody with experience who's kind of been there.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, yeah, this needs to be fixed, and this is how we fix it.
Yeah, in so many of these situations, it really helps to have walked in those boots, those combat boots, before, just to have the context and wherewithal to make wise decisions. And so whatever the issue is, whether it's the military, whether it's our budget and our reckless spending, whatever the issue is, I just encourage people like your listeners to really kick the tires of the people in this race. And I hope that they've hopefully, you know, heard from me a few times. And they have to know that we want to be as responsive as possible. If they have questions on my policy views, they can check that out at our website at andycoleman.com. And Coleman is spelled just like the camping gear, C-O-L-E-M-A-N. They could talk to some of the individuals out there in the communities that have already kicked the tires themselves, verified my conservative views, verified my background, and come out and publicly endorsed us. That includes Dr. Everett Piper here in Bartlesville with Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Very grateful to have his support. There's groups out there like the Combat Veterans for Congress that have come out to endorse us. We had Attorney General Ed Meese from the Reagan administration in town in December headlining events for us. So there have been a few opportunities to get out there. We're going to stay active. We're going to stay busy. If people want to meet, if people want to set up more small group events, we've done a lot of them throughout the district. We'd be thrilled to do more.
Absolutely. We're going to take a quick little break here. We'll come back. More Community Connection on the way.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
And we're back, Community Connection, K1AM 1400 and FM 93.3. We're joined this morning by Andy Coleman on his campaign for Congress. Real quick, heard from one of Andy Coleman's campaign managers, I assume. AndyColeman.org.
Yes.
AndyColeman.org is the website. Go out there, check it out. We're talking a little bit ago. You have a five-step process of thinking about making changes or getting things done here. Talk a little bit about your Voice of the Martyrs background. What did you do? You've kind of alluded to that you've been overseas and you've dealt with a lot of challenges, I guess, to say, overseas and just the physical process of doing that. But we talked about the budget as well. Do you have background and experience budgeting things? Because I think one thing that Oklahomans are a lot really worried about is the fact that we're in 2018 and the 2017 legislature and the budget has still not been resolved and we're still working on that.
Yeah. Well, great question, Ben. And the answer is yes. My role at Voice of the Martyrs as the regional director for the Middle East was a fantastic job. In fact, I felt like every day I had a winning lottery ticket in my pocket that I got to serve in that capacity. My job was to help lead a team in operating in these countries, operating in areas where you have groups like Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Jaish al-Mahdi, the Taliban. They're wrecking some shop over there, and that's where we worked, so it was risky. But we're also overseeing millions of dollars of projects to help these people. You know, when ISIS invaded northern Iraq and 50-plus Christian villages are overrun, and there's a huge human toll, well, we were there to try to help out. But we're also there not just to prayerfully encourage these people, not just to find wise ways that we can help them out. We're also there to provide oversight and good stewardship of the resources that were sacrificially donated by hundreds of thousands of families and churches across this country to Voice of the Martyrs. So if we thought we had a project going on in northern Iraq, if we thought we had a project going on in Pakistan, well, guess what? We were going to put boots on the ground to put, you know, verify that it's actually happening, We were going to work through accountability channels. We were going to inject as much transparency into that as possible. We were going to open up the books, check the finances, make sure that that made sense. So, yes, and, you know, overseeing a portfolio of several hundred projects amounting to over $8 million, that perhaps is small fry, small potatoes, you know, compared to some of the businesses in Tulsa or everything. But that is a tall order, especially when you're looking at the countries where we were having to work. Working in Egypt, working in Iraq, working in Lebanon, working in Pakistan, it's tough. There's cross-cultural challenges. It's very difficult, but that was the job that we were assigned. It's what we strove to do with excellence, and that would be the same approach that I would take to this seat, representing the families, the businesses, and the communities of Bartlesville, of Tulsa, of Oklahoma's 1st District.
And, of course, I assume very involved in all that process, going through that. If you were to get to Congress and you're there and you're working, of course, when you can, would you – I guess I should word this differently. When you can, are you going to be able to be out doing the work yourself? I feel like people – when you see people go to Congress, they kind of hide away in Oklahoma City. Are you going to be as involved with the communities as possible?
Well, more good questions. And, of course, I'm running for the U.S. Congress, so I won't be hiding in Oklahoma City. Sorry. But I will be serving in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. But I deeply, deeply, deeply believe in the ideals of the citizen legislator. Mm-hmm. That's what our founders intended. Somebody who is a part of the community, who goes to represent the community in the House of Representatives for a season and then comes back. If we are in the seats, I stay here. My family stays here. If we're in session, I'll be in Washington taking votes, you know, representing the families there. But when we're not in session, I'm right back here. I want to be as accessible and transparent as possible. Mm-hmm. I've been watching politics, politicians, government, failed states for more than two decades. It's what I studied when I was a cadet at the Air Force Academy. It's one of the reasons I went to serve in those conservative legal trenches was policy issues. It's very easy for a federal legislator to say, dismissively really, oh, I have an open door policy. Well, what does that mean? If you're, you know, in D.C. representing hundreds of thousands of people, how do you do that? Well, we are intentionally putting into place mechanisms so that, no kidding, if there's families, if there's businesses here that have problems, we're setting up committees, if you will, whether it's a small business committee or a veterans committee, where there's going to be known individuals in that community that are going to serve as belly buttons that I'm going to be talking with regularly, whether that's quarterly, twice a year, but somebody's out there that we can actually set up communication channels so if there's problems, we hear about it and we can act.
Okay, we're going to wrap things up here this morning for Community Connection, but Andy Coleman run for Congress. You can check out his website, andycoleman.org.
That's right.
All the information, and we appreciate you coming in this morning.
Thank you very much for your time.
Jesus told us in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6,